There's things I think he learned in the palace that helped prepare him for the day he was going to lead the nation of Israel out. He had the courage and he had the strength and he had the ability. Moses then made a choice. He pursued after God. So God's going to protect us. God's going to prepare us for the what he has for us to do. Question is, are we going to pursue after God? Are we going to be the ones that say, okay, God, I'm going to trust in your protection. Okay, God, I'm going to trust in whatever you bring into my life is preparing me. Now I'm going to pursue after you. And we looked at that in Hebrews. And this week we're going to talk about Moses as a fugitive from the vengeful Pharaoh. Most of us remember in the story, we're going to read it again, how Moses killed an Egyptian. He was found out and he fled from Egypt. And even though he had been prepared for Egyptian royalty, now he finds himself employed very shortly as a shepherd in what was a foreign country. So tonight, this morning's title is Moses in the Desert. Moses in the Desert. And you say, Pastor, this is a very short passage of scripture to spend a whole lesson on. It doesn't give us a lot of details. Well, there's 40 years here that Moses is going to live in. So if we're going to go over the life of Moses, I think we should at least consider these 40 years. Now, you might have to put your thinking caps on a little bit. You might have to kind of read it in between the lines, but I'll explain some of those things here when we come over these things about Moses and these 40 years. There's two passages of scripture we're going to read to help interpret this passage. First is Exodus chapter 2. Then we're going to go to Acts chapter 7. Stephen, when he's preaching, gives us some more interesting commentary on the life of Moses. Okay, Exodus chapter number 2, verse number 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, meaning, and we'll learn here in Acts chapter 7, he's 40 years old. So that means that you're not grown till you're 40. That means you can act immature as you want till you're 40. Oh, I guess not. I guess I'm still over 40, so I guess I can't. I don't know why I'm immature. So, and let's see here. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. Now, his brethren, who are they referring to? Remember, he was a Jew, and that was his birth family. So his brethren was the Israelites, and looked on their burdens. Remember, we learned in chapter 1, the king did not like the Israelites. They had become so mighty and so mighty and so strong, he placed heavy burdens upon them. They were building his treasure cities. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he sees this. And now this is something that happened often. If you read in chapter number 1, you see they did whip him. They did beat him. Verse number 12, and he looked this way and that way. You know, he's seen if anybody's looking. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. So he gets upset. He gets mad. He's vengeful, and the idea is his anger is built up inside him. This is not something that God says he should have done. This is not something God says, oh, this is okay. No, but he's ruled by his emotions. You're going to see here a man after 40 years in the desert is not a man that's ruled by his emotions anymore. In all reality, in the book of Numbers, it actually tells him that he is one of the meekest men on the earth. And meek means strength during turmoil, strength under control in any situation. That's not this man right now. This man right now, he has just killed an Egyptian because the Egyptian was doing what he was told to do. And there's a reason, and we'll see that in the book of Acts here, but we'll get there in a second. And he hit him in the sand, and when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. So now we have two of the same race, same family heritage at least. They fought with one another. And he said to them that did the wrong. He looks at the one that is doing wrong. Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And this guy, once again, he's upset. He's doing wrong. He's controlled by his own emotions, I'm sure. He says to him, and he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. So we come to the spot where it's, he finds out that the Israelites know. How do they know? Don't really know how he knows. But God knows everything. And so even though he thought he could hide the Egyptian, maybe he looked at it, maybe they came upon him while he was digging. I don't really know, but this is made known to everybody. In verse 15, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, He sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priests of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. So he flees the land. He heads off to Midian, which is probably a couple day journey at least. He heads off there and he goes and he's sitting by the well. These 7 daughters are taking the flocks of their dad. We don't know of any brothers that are there because, you know, the daughters are taking care of the flocks. And the shepherds came and drove them away. So once they filled the waters with the troughs with water, the other shepherds come, which are men, and kind of tries to chase them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, which is their father, which is also the priest of that area, and he said, how is it that you are come so soon today? So we kind of understand this is something that probably happened on a regular basis. He said, how did you get home so early? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? He's like, why did you leave him there? If he helped you, why didn't you bring him home? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son. And he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Let's skip down to verse number 1. It says in chapter 3, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So we see in the story here, Moses flees from Egypt. We're going to see here in a minute, in Acts, for 40 years he's with these people. 40 years he's keeping the flock of his father-in-law. Let's go ahead and take our Bible to Acts chapter number 7. And keep your place in Exodus chapter 2. We'll come back to it. But Acts chapter 7 gives us a little bit more of a commentary when it comes to these 40 years of Moses' life. Acts chapter number 7. We're going to start off in verse number 20. Acts 7, verse 20, the Bible says, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and deed. So he, intelligent man, he is mighty in these things. He grasped them. He was probably someone they were looking for to be some type of great ruler in the Egyptian area. They had big plans for him. And it says in verse 23, and when he was full 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit the brethren, the children of Israel. So we see here, you say, well, where did you get that 40 years from? That's right here. It's 40 years. And when he was 4 years old, something came to his heart. I think God's speaking to his heart. Verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. So it gives a little bit more of a detail of what happened. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. So we see here that Moses believes in his heart God is calling him to deliver the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. And so this is part of the reason why he kills the Egyptian. He is showing them that he is going to be the one to take them out. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Will thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai a angel of the Lord in the flame of fire in a bush. So we see here, there's 40-year groups here. 40 years when he was in Pharaoh's house, now he's 40 years in the desert. I think there's some things that God wanted to teach Moses. I think God was impressing upon his heart to be the deliverer. But there are some things he had to learn, some things he could not learn in the palace. So God sends him to the desert to learn these things. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing today on the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these people that are here. What a blessing they are to me and my family. Lord, what a blessing they are to one another just to be able to fellowship together. Lord, I pray you help us today. You speak to people's hearts. Lord, you work in a miraculous way. Lord, send your Holy Spirit, which indwells in us, to show us the things in our areas in our life that we need to work on. Lord, I pray that we leave even this service, this lesson, changed a little bit, help to look for you and understand you, maybe quiet the things around us some so we can hear for you. As Moses was quiet, many things were quiet around him when he went out to this desert area. Lord, he could clearly hear and speak to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's look here. First thing I want you to think about is the first point is Moses was alone. We all depend on friends and family for support, but at times God allows our human support system to be removed from our lives so that we can be, heard and obeyed in a special way. It's something that I think in the day and time that we live in, it is really, really tough to get some quiet time. And, you know, sometimes people use loneliness the wrong way. Sometimes loneliness is a real struggle. It's a common struggle for many people. Moses here is alone. He is now in an area where he does not know anybody. He does not have any family. Obviously, I know he meets the priest there. He's married to Zipporah very quickly. But at the same time, loneliness is something that many people have to deal with. Most of us will experience moments of extreme loneliness during our lifetime. In fact, it talked about there was one person that had surveyed. It said of all the people that ate dinner the night before, 20% of them ate alone. And he said, what's the big deal about that? Well, sometimes people don't handle loneliness the right way. But sometimes God allows this to happen. God, like I said, God did not tell Moses to kill the Egyptian. God could have sent Moses off on his own. God could have protected Moses, even in Egypt, if he can protect him as a baby. But God wanted him to get somewhere, I believe, and get somewhere alone so they could spend time with one another so God could prepare him and plan him and get him ready for the day that God was going to use him. So I think this is what God does. He takes away his friends. He takes away his family. He takes away his support. And now that his family is gone, his occupation is gone, his vision for the future, as we saw in Hebrews chapter number 11, he thought God was going to use him as a deliverer. Moses is isolated in the wilderness with the sheep as his companion. It was through this intense loneliness God planned to draw Moses to himself. Look what it says in Psalms 142. He says, I look on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. And so here's a fantastic thing that when people get lonely and they say, look, no one knows me, no one understands me, no one even cares for me. But the truth of the matter is Christians, we know something. We understand the truth that God does love us and God does know us. And Moses may have been alone, but Moses was not forsaken. You see here in 1 Peter 5:7, God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells Peter to write this, casting all your care upon him, for he care for you. You do have someone who cares for you. You do have someone who loves you. You do have someone who is going to take care of you. So loneliness is sadness from being apart from other people. And think about it. Through times in the Bible of loneliness, great leaders were drawn to God. Think about Abraham. Was Abram back then. You know, he was drawn away from his family, from the city of Ur. He was taken away to get away from all those other bad influences and all those false gods and all those areas. And he brought him there to a spot where it says Abraham, when he got there, he would usually build some type of sacrifice and he would spend time alone with God. You think about Jacob. Jacob had really some struggles in his life, but what happened when Jacob wrestled with God that night? After that, his life had changed for good when he was alone with God. David, and you can say this about many times in David's life when he was being chased by Saul, but what reminds me the most is when David was sitting at Ziklag and he had gone to fight with the Philistines and then someone had came and taken all their wives and all positions and possessions and burned the city. What does the Bible say he did? David encouraged himself. Nobody wanted to be around him. They were actually talking about stoning David. And David said, the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. He wasn't going to be encouraging himself until he got to the spot where he was alone and by himself. Daniel in the lion's den. Jesus, when he even was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus in the wilderness when he was alone, when the devil came along to tempt him. You think about John at the island of Patmos, over and over in the Bible, it speaks about times when people are alone, maybe forsaken by family, maybe forsaken by friends, maybe when their whole life has been turned upside down. God uses that time as a time of training. If you're in a spot in your life where you don't have lots of people around you and you feel very alone, go to God. What are you going to do with it? Some people take loneliness or frustration and they do different things. I know that teenagers, I've talked to them in the past, you know, I've taught them in the past. I remember one person said, when I have started having problems, when I go upstairs, I shut my door and turn my music on really loud and, you know, forget about everything. I said, but your problem's still there tomorrow, right? That doesn't help you. I mean, some people turn to worldly entertainment to help them with their loneliness. Some people turn to bad relationships because they know there is somebody. The devil will put somebody in your life that's going to try to go you the wrong way. Some people turn to all different types of things, sometimes pills, sometimes. But you know what? There is a God that you can turn to and you can learn from and you can grow from. I know that it's not easy to go through lonely times. I know it's not easy to deal with things and have troubles and hardships and heartaches. I know that. But at the same time, God can use these times when he's alone to just draw you closer to him. He was exiled from Egypt. He didn't leave by his own choice. He left because of the fact that it was fearful for his life. After committing murder, Moses realized that remaining in Egypt would most likely cost him his life. And while it was difficult to be shunned and ostracized, it was better than to actually have somebody seeking to kill you. The Bible even puts out another interesting thing. If you like to take your Bible and look in Hebrews chapter 11, or you can listen to it, the Bible says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing such him who is invisible. Some commentators believe that he's talking about the end of his life there. But when did he actually forsake Egypt? He forsook Egypt when he left there. When he flew, he forsook it. He fled away. And this is the first verse in that idea of talking about Moses' life. He was not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. He wasn't afraid of the king. I think Moses was an individual who was ready to take on the king. He was ready to take on whoever, but God wasn't prepared. He wasn't prepared to do it God's way. And so when the wrath of the king was there, he knew it was found out in Exodus chapter number 2. And it says that he fled away. He left. He fled from the face of Pharaoh because he knew what could happen. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11:27, by faith he did this. See, I think God was instructing him and leading him, and God was showing him himself, you're not ready to take this on. What are you going to do? Go kill all the Egyptians? And Moses probably had in his mindset, you know, God can do that, I can do that. But Moses wasn't ready to be that leader yet. Moses had to go to these times where being alone, where he could learn from God. After 40 years, Moses found himself without a home, without a family, separated from his people. Moses lives on the backside of the desert for 40 years. I know he does have a wife. He has 2 children. He has the sheep he's taking care of. But as most of us know, when you're a shepherd, you have a lot of time by yourself and just with the sheep. Like the psalmist, I think he could say, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? He understood that even though he was exiled from Egypt, there was a God that was always there with him. You know, and what can separate us from the love of God? I know some of us deal with loneliness. Sometimes people struggle with that. I was talking to an individual, a church member once, and they said, he said, you got a very lonely position. I said, you're talking about my job. I says, I got lots of friends and family. He says, no. He says, when you're trying to serve the Lord and you got to make decisions, it's a very lonely time at times when you got to do what you believe is right and where other people are not going to agree with you. You got to understand there's things in a church that maybe one personality think it should be done this way, another person with another personality think it should be done this way. We all have opinions. We all have thoughts. We all have ideas how things should be done. And as a pastor, as the Bible is given, according to what the Bible says, I'm the overseer of the church. It's my responsibility. The Bible even says in Hebrews 13 that I'm the one that will stand before God and give an account of you, and that I may do it with joy. And so and I understood what he said, and I understood what he talked about being a lonely position, because sometimes it is lonely. Sometimes you got to choose between, okay, God, I know this is what you want, and God, I know this is what everybody else wants, or this is what my family might want, or my wife, or my friends, or whoever it may be. These other, you know, we serve for, there's lonely times in your life. There are times when you are going to face decisions where if you're going to serve God, other people are going to say, I don't have anything to do with you. So what do you do with those times? First thing I think you need to understand is that God's with you. And that's what this point is about. Yes, he was exiled from Egypt, but he was not separated from God. Great verses in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know, what's going to separate us? Nothing will. Even in those verses and between those verses talk, yeah, we are more than conquerors. And verse 39 says, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so when there are times, and like I said, there are times when our family and friends might be all around us, but we might be as alone as we could be. Maybe you've lost the mate, or maybe you've lost parents, or maybe you've lost friends, and maybe from moving or death, and you feel like you're alone. You gotta understand, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And Moses spends these 40 years. He says, man, that was pretty wrong for God to send Moses out to the wilderness for 40 years, maybe a year or two, or 3 years, or 4 years. Yeah. Sometimes people are slow learners. Sometimes there's much that needs to be taught. And I think in these 40 years, God helps draw Moses to himself. He said, where do you see that in the Bible? Moses left a man that was full of passion and reacted on this passion. Moses comes back as a person who is meek. Moses comes back as a person that has to deal with millions of Israelites that complain and are bitter sometimes and had to face accusations. I think if Moses at the beginning would have had to face those things, he would have probably mouthed off, or like he did with these Egyptians, punished them somehow. But no, Moses is a changed person. I think these 40 years in the wilderness helped change him. And I think anytime we spend a lot of time alone with God and realize he's there with us, it'll help change us. He not only was exiled from Egypt, he also was employed in the wilderness. From this era of his life, we learn that God uses the skills we have developed along with God-given gifts we have cultivated for his glory and for the good of others. You know, this is a time and opportunity where he's learning the needs. You know, what does the nation of Israel known for doing? They're known for being shepherds. You know, when they take their flocks and for those 40 years, he can be a help and a blessing, I think, even in learning this. Not only was he alone, I think he was humbled. Humbled, what do you mean? Well, you think about it, to go from being prince to being a shepherd, most people would look at that as a humbling. Nothing wrong with being a shepherd. You know, I know back in the New Testament, they kind of get ostracized a little bit because of the smell and because of the profession. Nothing wrong with being a shepherd at all. But it's a far cry from being a prince. But if God wants you to be a shepherd, aren't you much better off being a shepherd than a prince? Isn't that what the choice was? He could have stayed in Egypt. He didn't have to go visit his brother. He listened to God speaking to his heart to go and help his brother and help deliver his brother. And God says, no, no, no. If you're going to help deliver your brother, there's something you're going to learn. You're going to learn how to be humble. If you're going to deal with these, if you're going to take my people and take them to across the Red Sea and up to Mount Sinai and someday to the Promised Land, I know they failed there, and then travel around with them for 40 years and get close to the Promised Land again, there's something you're going to have to learn. There's something you have to teach that, you know what? You're going to have to be humbled. That Numbers 12:3, I think I have it up here. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Like I said, he may no longer have been a prince. Maybe he was a shepherd now, but God taught him something that was very important. Meekness is defined as strength under control. This word could not have described Moses before he left Egypt, but as a man controlled by his emotions was the man that was in Egypt. However, God used this 40-year period of exile to humble Moses and to teach him to follow when he had been accustomed to leading. Now, I think that's tough. I think that's, talk to men for a little while. I think that's you know, God makes us up a certain way. He makes us to be head of the house. He makes us to be leaders. But there's times when we have to submit and go underneath the authority of other people. We're under the authority of the government. If you listen to what the Bible says, they're under the authority of the church and the pastor, and when it comes to spiritual things. And you know, sometimes people struggle with that. I know you said be there at 9:40, but I don't care if I'm going to be here at 9:45. You know, that's hard. Where is it? Because usually men are usually the ones that used to be in charge. Don't get me wrong, ladies. I know they struggle. You guys struggle with that the same way as men do. But sometimes men and ladies struggle with that. And it's something that God has to teach us. When does God teach us that? When we're willing to be alone with him. When we're willing to allow things to be humbled. when we're willing to say, you know what, God, it's only by your grace, it's only by your unmerited favor that I am what I am, as Apostle Paul said. It's only by that I am what I am. It's only because of your unmerited favor in my life I have the opportunity. And this is what Moses had to learn here. He was no longer the prince. Remember, he forsook Egypt. He didn't fear the wrath of the king, but he endured seeing him who was invisible. This came from God. He was willing to do it. And I think Moses does a good job at it. Moses could have just sat there and watched his women get pushed away and pushed apart and not even worried about it. But Moses helps these ladies. And Moses is, I believe, as a person, as a shepherd, that does a good job. I think God can bless that. You think about it. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. You know, it's a principle here. You can trust somebody. Sometimes people want a leadership position at a job, or sometimes somebody wants more responsibility. But he says, if you can't even handle the little things, how can I trust you with something bigger? How can I trust you with something greater? And God here has prepared Moses. I mean, made him mighty in words and in deeds. I mean, he was being prepared to be some type of great leader someday in Egypt. He would have probably been like, you know, how we watch those guys, the royalty grow up over there, princess and prince that over in Egypt, in England and things like that. And he's going to do something special. You watch him grow up. I bet you the people in Egypt felt that way about Moses. Look at him. He's mighty in word and in deed. Look at it. He's a specimen. Look at God's, you know, we're going to be able to use him. He's going to do something great for Egypt. Possibly even would have been the next Pharaoh if you look back in history. But Moses had to learn something. He wasn't the prince anymore. He wasn't the one in charge. He wasn't the one giving the commands. He wasn't the one being waited on. He was going to have to learn that he had to humble himself. And God took him to the spot of being a shepherd and said, look, be faithful with this. And someday, I'm going to allow you to be faithful with something greater. I don't think he was ready to talk to Pharaoh about the 10 plagues. I don't think he was ready to lead all those people out of the nation. No. He wasn't. God had taken him and showed him and humbled himself to the point where God can use him now. And Christian, even though it may be an alone time, what do we do with that alone time? Do we take that time when we let God humble us, help us to see all the good things that we have? It comes from God. Anything good in me, it comes from God, comes from his spirit. So he was alone. Moses was humbled. And I think that we can justify these points here, because you can see it in scripture, because we see the difference in the change here. This last point is that he was he thought about things. And he changed himself. He took time to remember and repent. You say, well, where do you see that in the Bible? I know that when there's been times when I've been alone, and maybe you can use this point just for me, that there's times when I can reflect and I'm quiet with the Lord and I'm in his word and I've been humbled and I'm alone. You know what? That's times when I'm going to take time to reflect. And that's times I'm going to take time to repent. Like I said, many times people want to put other things in their lives. People want to put bad relationships. People that will tell you, oh yeah, everything's okay, everything's fine. Or they'll tell you things that are that you want to hear. They'll turn to ungodly entertainment. Things that will just make you feel better. But during these quiet times, and when we think about things, God many times uses this as a dramatic fashion to change us. You think about during these quiet times what Samuel heard from God when he lay there in that bed. You think about Elijah when he was running from the vengeful Jezebel. He stood still and he looked to God. And what did he do? He heard that still small voice. Isaiah, when he was lonely and in the temple, and he went there in Isaiah chapter 6, wondering what the world was going to do without Uzziah, God speaks to his heart and shows him, I'm still on the throne. And he responds by saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. No, it's when we are alone and when we are humbled, we will take time to remember and repent. Look what the Bible says in Psalms 39. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at best state is altogether vanity. And he's showing the frailty of man here. And you know, I was at a nursing home yesterday, and there was someone there who was coming to the point that they thought they were going to die. And you could see how frail life was. And even I've seen some of the biggest and strongest of men. I think of Bear Smith, how he used the big and strength that he had. And then, you know, months later, he's gone. Because man is frail. And yes, we might think that we have some strength. We might think we have some things in us that can keep us going. But when we have these times, what do we do with this time? Do we try to confess our sins? Do we try to get right with the Lord? Or do we try to be close with the Lord? You know, I think during this time, Moses, during these 40 years, had time to remember how good God has been, and he repented of his sins. He said, what sins did he do? I don't know. But I know that we all need to draw closer to him. That he went from being a man filled with emotions, a man that wanted to do things his own way, a man that, remember, he thought that they would understand that God was going to use him to deliver. To me, when you read that verse, it's like, the Israelites should have known. Moses was probably pretty high on himself and say, you know what? I thought they would understand. When I just showed up and I killed that Egyptian, everything was going to be okay. Everybody pack up. We're moving. No, they didn't get that. He needed to be humbled. He needed to realize, hey, I'm sitting on the backside of the desert right now with some sheep, and that's all I am right now. And once again, nothing wrong with being a shepherd. But God was training and teaching him. He chose to take his stand with God's people. And as he took his stand with God's people, God was able to use him. Not only did he take time to remember and repent, and I tell you, that's not an easy thing to do. To sit there and listen and ask God and God to reveal sin. And you know what? I can do this sometimes. It's not hard for me to spend some time alone with the Word and with the Bible and have God work in my heart. It's not hard for me to say, you know what, Lord, I should do better at this. I should do better at that. Now, Lord, I probably need to memorize scripture some more. Maybe I need to be more of an outreach. Maybe I need to treat my wife better. Maybe I need to treat my sons better. Maybe I need to be a better preacher. You know, there's not many times that I cannot sit there and find some things that I can remember things and repent them. This next step is a little harder. He took time to reflect and to reform. He took time to change. And once again, I don't know all the things that happened. The Bible doesn't talk about all the different things that happened. But the man that met that Moses was at the burning bush was a completely different man that drove away those shepherds that day. In those 40 years, God prepared and planned him. And yes, and when did he do it? Not when he was in the palace. There were some things that he could not learn in the palace that he had to learn in the wilderness. So those alone times he had, those times when he was humbled, God then showed him and he repented of those things. And then now he comes to the spot where he says, I need to change. Yeah, it's easy to say, yeah, I did this wrong. I did this wrong. I did. Sometimes people want to almost glorify in their sins. But it's when we take the time to reform. The Bible says, so teach us to number our days that we might may apply our hearts to wisdom. You know, if we will learn to number our days and realize we don't have so many days here. We're frail up here. You know what is? I like this phrase. Behold, the house made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. I kind of like that. I know that 102 is a lot really old, and people make a big deal. I think that's great. But, you know, in God's eyes, he's like, that's nothing. 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. You know, who are we? We are humans. And if we believe there is a God, we need to worship him and say, you know what? I am frail, Lord. Whatever you want to use me for, I'm willing to be used for. And Lord, even though I'm going through a time that it feels extremely lonely, you know, I feel a time where I don't know how I can get any lower. During that time, that's when God starts breaking us and using us and making us and reforming us. And he said, well, I can do that someday. No, number your days. I remember the illustration, you know, if the Bible says 70 years is about, you know, length of life or whatever, you know, you got 0 to 70. And when I heard a preacher preach the message, I was, you know, the middle point of it's right here is 35. And I was over here on this side. Oh, I'm okay. You know, I got plenty of time over here. But now since then, I've skipped that 35 and up to 43. 70 is looking a lot closer. 60 doesn't look that old anymore. You know that? When you get closer and closer to it, but when you're 25 or 30, man, 60, that's really old. But why is this? It's because we need to learn to number our days and realize there's not much time. Let's not waste it. Moses here, he spent these 40 years in a spot where many times people do not want to have that alone time. You know, there's many times when we need to realize wrong choices in our past stops us from doing this and that. No. We need to realize that Moses learned and teaches us that God can use anyone. He didn't write Moses off just because he killed the Egyptian. He didn't write Rahab off. Rahab still was able to become part of the Israel nation, even though she was someone who had committed horrible sins beforehand. Moses used his time in the desert, his time in loneliness, to learn more about himself and more about God. As a result, he developed a walk with God that changed his character. And, you know, how can we change this? How do we get changed? I mean, I tell you, I really want this reform. I really want to become like Jesus. I really want to take the time to be alone and be humbled and the repenting and the, but that reform stuff is the hard stuff. It's when we let God do a final work in us, a finished work, a work that's on the inside. And I think that's what David talks about in Psalms 51. And he's like, yeah, help me inwardly, just not outwardly, but help make the change inwardly. It took 40 years for Moses. So if it takes a little while, don't be disappointed. Don't be upset. But the point is, don't, if you're at a time in your life where you're alone, don't run from it. If you're at a time in your life where you think, man, God really humbled me, well, praise the Lord, you got half the work done, then let's look to God. Don't turn to bad friendships. Don't turn to bad entertainment. Don't turn to feeling sorry for myself. Turn to the God that can help us through all this. Because I know there are times when we're alone. I know there's probably people in this room that are alone. You know, I know they might have family, they might have friends, they have a church family that cares for them, but they feel like they're more alone than they ever were. What do we do? Use that time to let God teach you and make you what he wants you to be. Oh, yes, he was in the desert. He was exiled. Yes, he became a shepherd. No longer was he a prince, but soon God is going to use him to lead out and do something miraculous through. God's preparing you. Remember, we already know that. God's protecting and preparing you. Question is, are you going to pursue after him? Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. Thankful for the people that are here. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts today. Lord, help us understand that we need quiet time alone with God. Help us not to just rush through our Bible reading or rush through our prayer time. And Lord, when we have those moments when we're alone and maybe feeling sorry for ourselves, and I know that happens to me at times, help us to turn to you. And Lord, help you teach us the things that we want to know and the things that we want to learn. Lord, work in our hearts and minds. Lord, help us to be that reformed person and the idea that you've changed us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.